Let's go to Romans chapter 14. We'll go read the whole chapter together. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Just invite your presence here to speak to us, God, and just to encourage us, Lord, and in our prayer time that we'll be able to connect with you and hear your voice, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I just wanted to speak from my own quiet times with the Lord, and this is something that I recently read, and I'm calling this How to Use Our Freedom in Christ. How to Use Our Freedom in Christ. So he begins this chapter, Paul, the author, he's writing this letter, and he begins it by saying, don't judge, right? He says, don't judge, and he talks about the freedom that we now have in Christ, right? He's writing to an audience that is used to living according to the law, right? There were specific days that they had to celebrate and observe, you know, as specific days, and they had specific dietary regulations, right? They couldn't eat certain things. You could only eat certain things on a certain day, and there were all these rules and regulations, and Paul is saying, hey, in Christ Jesus, we're no longer under the spirit of law, but we're under the spirit of freedom, right? Spirit of God. And so we are set free from these things, from these what he calls in verse 1, at the end of verse 1, he calls it opinions. In the New International Version, he says these are disputable matters, right? I like that term. These things are disputable, meaning there is no clear black and white right or wrong. It's kind of one's opinion on what they think is the right thing to do in a certain situation. And I think in many ways, this is true for us today. You know, there are many things in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, in the life of a church, where things are not so black and white and we are talking disputable matters. I think even many things that we as a church, you know, the culture of our church, what we say is the right thing to do or the right way to live, when we kind of observe it in light of like the rest of the church in the world, they're probably disputable matters. You know, they're just opinions. It comes from the culture of our pastor and kind of, you know, stemming from Pastor Sam, but what we believe is the right way to do our Christianity. But it's not something that we can say this is black and white, this is a non-negotiable, non-disputable thing. A lot of things is disputable. So, I mean, some examples come to mind is things like what you are fasting. You know, that's a disputable matter, right? Some people might fast everything and just drink water, and they think that's what God has called me to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Some people, you know, might just fast meat, you know. My wife, she's pregnant, so obviously she can't fast food, so she just fasted media. That's a disputable matter. No one can say, what's wrong with you? Even though sometimes we do in our hearts, you know, we look at someone, especially amongst the staff. We'll look at other staff members that are not doing a full fast, and we'll say, we won't say anything, but in our heads, I know Kenny says sometimes he gets bitter. He's like, man, this guy's not really fasting. But we can't judge, right? It's a disputable matter. It's not a black and white thing. It's not a law. I think another thing is drinking. You know, it comes up all the time in church. Like, can we drink? Can we not drink? And it's up to you. It's whatever you and the Lord, whatever the Holy Spirit says to you, and you do. This is a silly example. Maybe it doesn't apply to us, but I imagine in other churches, like how you dress for church. You know, some people think you have to dress in a suit and tie. Some people are like, whatever, Hawaiian shirts, t-shirts, shorts, whatever. And most people, we have a cultural norm, but that's not the word of God. It's not a non-negotiable, what kind of movies you watch. And I think to a degree, and this is another issue that comes up in our church, is traveling as a couple before you're married. Because I know a lot of dating couples will argue, well, we're not having sex. We're staying in a different room. Why can't we travel together? And, you know, I mean, unless they're sleeping together and having sex, it's not so clear in the scriptures. Like, this is why the Word of God says dating couples cannot travel together. That's not there. So it's one of those disputable matters. Obviously, there are some non-negotiables, right? So Paul says, when you're talking about disputable matters, your opinions, this is what I want you to do. Don't judge, and I'm going to give some guidelines, which I think Paul gives to us. But, you know, there are obviously some non-negotiables in church, doctrines about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the sin and how we get saved and all these things. And some things are very black and white in Scripture. Right, it's very black and white. It says, do not have sex before marriage. That's kind of laid out there. Don't commit adultery. You know, those things are non-negotiable. It's quite clear, but some things are disputable. And I just want to kind of give a few guidelines for how can we discern when these things come up in our lives, when you're talking to your house church members, when you're talking, when you're kind of thinking about it on your own. So I just have two things. Number one, if you go to verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And I think that's guideline number one, that we do everything for the Lord, right? Yes, you have your freedom. Yes, you know, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, everything is permissible, but you don't live for yourself. You live for God. Whether you live or die, everything that you do, your life belongs to God. So Paul is saying, your choice to do something or to not do something, it shouldn't be so much from just a selfish desire. Now, Paul says in verse 12 that we're all going to stand accountable before God. That we're all going to, after this life, we're going to give an account before the Lord. This is his reasoning for why we shouldn't judge one. And I shouldn't judge David, because David is going to be judged by God. That's what Paul is saying. But think about that. I don't know if it's necessarily like easier to know that you're going to be judged by God rather than somebody else. You know, like if you have to give an account of your life to God, that's probably a little bit scarier, you know, than if you had to give an account of your life to another church member or even one of the pastors here. That you're going to give an account of your life to God. And he says, yeah, you don't live your life for yourself, you live for God. Because, you know, I talk to people, when I was in college, I went to a Christian university, and Christian universities, in some ways it's great, but in other ways people are just trying to figure out where's the line that we shouldn't cross as Christians, and then how can I get as close to the line as possible and not cross over so I'm not sinning, you know? So we would talk about, I mean, relationships, how far can we go? What is sex? What is not? Can we do this? Can we not do that? You know, how can we get this close? And we talked often about swearing. You know, we would always be like, is swearing a sin? You know, we just wanted to swear. People just wanted to say things and use the F word and the S word. And they're like, what's the big deal? It's not in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And what's the line? And whenever we discuss these things, I felt like ultimately it comes down to, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I enjoy. And it's not in the Bible. It's not a black and white. So why can't I do it? You know, when we talk about drinking in the church with different church members, and we throw out suggestions, it ultimately, I feel like it comes down to, well, this is what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do or what not to do. This is not in the Bible. It's not a black and white. So just let me do it. But I think it often comes down to this attitude of, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, you know? Don't impose your convictions on me, whatever. And I just think it comes from a selfish attitude. And Paul's saying, you don't live for yourself, man. Right? Couples that travel together, I want to say, hey, like, is that going to be beneficial to you, and, you know, in your Christian journey? And they're like, well, it's not in the Bible. We just want to have fun. We just want to do this thing. Why can't you just get off my back? And, you know, I don't know. It says, you don't live your life for yourself. You live for God. So I think you have to kind of decide that on your own. And, you know, as part of my daily reading, I'm reading this Romans, and I'm also reading Mark. And the passage I read today in Mark was Jesus being crucified, right? So what was the cost for our freedom? You know, what did it cost for us to have freedom? It cost Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And in light of that, when you think about it and you reflect upon, man, Jesus gave his life for me to have freedom from this law and this not being able to have a relationship with God, and then to say, I don't care, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, I think that's messed up, you know? So the number one, guideline number one, do everything for the Lord. And guideline number two, verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Paul's saying, do everything out of love for others, right? That's guideline number two. Yes, we have freedom. Everything is permissible. There are lots of things that are disputable, that are just man's opinion on what we think is the best way to live before God. But remember these two things. Number one, you live your life for God, not to yourself. And number two, do everything out of love for the other person, right? If this is going to stumble that person, Paul gives himself as an example. He says, man, I believe we can eat anything, right? In another scripture, I think 1 Corinthians, it talks about meat that is sacrificed to idols, because at that time, that was a big thing. Can we eat meat that is sacrificed to idols? And Paul is saying, you know, my conscience is clean. I know that this meat that is sacrificed to idols, that it's not a big deal, that the idol is a non-issue, and I can have this meat. I can eat whatever I want to. I can eat pork and other unclean animals, but if me doing this is going to stumble somebody, if me doing this, he uses the words, if it will destroy someone's faith, you know, or tear down the work of God in that person's life because they see me, a leader, doing something that they believe shouldn't be done as a Christian. And if it becomes a stumbling block for them, an obstacle for them, I'm going to lay it down, right? I'm just not going to do it. He says, it's not that important to me. Eating what I want to eat, drinking what I want to drink is not that important to me if it's going to be a stumbling block, if it's going to make somebody else suffer. Right? In verse 15, it says, for if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. He says, do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. It says, man, with your actions and behavior, you can destroy this person for whom Christ died. So don't do it. And I think that's a good guideline. You know, we've been talking about building up our church. And PSAM last Sunday talked about family, but how in some ways we as a church, we're a family in God. And so we, as we, you know, as we live together as a family, as we grow together as a church, you know, that we need to be, you need to have this attitude, I think, you know, that we're mindful of what we do. I guess like an example for me is, you know, my youth group students, they watch me, right? Everything that I do will have an impact on their lives. So I believe I can watch any movie that I want to watch. I believe that, you know, like it's not a big deal for me to watch Category 3. That's the category system in Hong Kong, you're right? For example, Ted. You guys know the teddy bear movie? It's a terrible movie, I think. It has a lot of cussing. But it's funny. And I think if it was just up to me, I would watch it. And I would probably have a good time and laugh. But I don't want my youth group students asking me, oh, did you watch it? And I can't lie to them. So I'll say, oh yeah, I watched it. You know, I just don't want to do this. So I just say, okay, you know what? If I'm going to tell my youth group kids not to watch something, then I will not watch it either. And it's not that big a deal, right? Missing out on 2 hours of entertainment, right? So whatever it is for you, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about a disputable matter, but how is that affecting your house church members, you know, that you're ministering to, your friends that you're reaching out to, or whatever, right? And are you just doing it, like, are you just insisting on doing something because you're just being selfish, you know, self-centered? Do you realize that we're living our lives for God? So let's go before God. Do we have worship? Oh, okay. Thank you. let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. Sorry, God, for just being selfish and self-centered and insisting on living our lives the way we want to. I guess kind of not even really realizing this amazing freedom that we have in you. So come Holy Spirit, I pray that as a church we would be able to operate out of love, God, that we will not destroy because of our selfish desires, that we will not destroy the work that you have been doing. So, yeah, come Holy Spirit this morning, speak to us and bring us closer to you, God. Thank you.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It costs you everything to set us free from our sin, our shame, and from having to earn our way into your presence, God, into acceptance by you. And help us not to just take that for granted, God. But help us to really live our lives for you, God. And to live our lives for others, God, out of love for others, God. So, Lord, lead us. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are struggling with cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray that God will bring His healing, His power, and His strength for our friends. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are battling illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God would help them to come into a relationship with Himself. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide, and let's pray for our church members and their family members that are going through various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come and God's strength to come upon them. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray that the breakthrough will come. Let's pray for favor and for God's guidance and direction. Let's pray that they won't be discouraged. They'll use their time wisely. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to the Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for our mission focus for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for SP Singapore with Pastor Sam Kim and his family and the church, and for them to continue to grow and to be a church that pleases God. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Salamat and his family, and also for the ministry in Kupang that we visit once a year. Let's pray for God's presence and His anointing upon them as well. So let's pray for these two things. Let's pray for the mission committee. Pray for Pastor Ricky as he leads the committee, and for the rest of the team to really pray and to be able to discern and hear from God. And let's pray for protection over them as well. Protection, and pray for their personal lives to be filled with joy. Pray for their families. Let's lift up our mission committee together. Let's lift up our local outreach ministry. Pray for Tim and Janella as they lead, and all the different leaders of the ministries. Let's pray for the anointing of God. Let's pray for more workers. Let's pray that our church will be more actively engaged in reaching the community here in Hong Kong. And yeah, let's pray for protection, anointing, and power over them. Let's pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for the Friday evening activities happening today. Let's pray for SPU. The youth EG is done, actually, so we can take that off. And then IP meeting today. So let's pray for those two things happening today. And let's pray for our house church meeting tonight, McCain House Church. Let's pray and cover the leaders and pray that they'll have an awesome time encountering God. So let's pray together. As they lead, as they gather together, as they share, as they open up to one another, God, I just pray that it will be a powerful time, that it will be a really thank you, God, for this morning. We just love you, God. We say that you are worthy of our worship and praise. And thank you that you hear our prayers, God. I thank you for your awesome presence in this room. And we worship you. We give ourselves to you, God. And we give this day to you. I just pray for your blessing over each person as they go through their day, God, that they will be able to walk with you and have a wonderful day together with you. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.